Hey everyone, we're so excited to tell you about our new membership.
We're creating exclusive After Dark episodes, monthly live Q&A and discussion calls,
and even some exclusive merch.
See all the benefits and tiers at patreon.com/glampolyam.
I didn't get to ask those questions until I was dating you.
I know.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Nobody, like, it was the first time when I was dating you, it was the first time that people started pulling me aside and were like,
so do you want to talk about sex now?
And I was like, no, not with you at all.
This is Glamorous and Polyamorous,
a show about exploring polyamory and other forms of non-monogamy after religion.
I'm Kelly Smith.
And I'm Zavi Benjamin.
I am really excited about this episode because we are talking about unlearning purity culture. And this is an important topic to me because I feel like there are a lot of things that I had to unlearn. But also, I think it's also a very uniting term in a sense, because not just XJWs, even though most of our audience, I would say, are probably XJWs. More than XJWs experience purity culture. All of our cult cousins, like the Mormons and the evangelicals, have also experienced this kind of thing. So I thought it was interesting for that. And also, I did some research and asked people in both our Facebook groups as well as on Instagram, like, what has been difficult about unlearning purity culture for them?
Yeah.
And so we'll get into some of those as well.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk about it because hopefully it will help other people to recognize that they still are carrying those different feelings towards purity culture and it might be influencing their life and they might not even realize it. So I'm excited to talk about it too.
Yeah. Let's get into our first one. What has been one of the hardest things to unlearn about purity culture for you?
I think for me, one of the hardest things to unlearn was that I was always taught that God and the Bible were my moral compass. So everything that was in there was what I needed to go by, and that was my compass. But once I started to realize, like, wait a second, there's a lot of things in here that I don't actually agree with. There's a lot of things that I would read and look at, things that God had done that was written in the Bible that I didn't actually agree with. And I started to think, like, wait, I would consider that to be wrong. And that was something that I was told, like, no, you can't question it. So I thought, like, how can my standards be higher than God's? Because I don't agree with what this thing happened that he did. And so I feel like then I started to question, like, okay, wait a second. Where is this coming from? Where is my moral compass coming from? Is it something that I'm deciding myself because it affects me? Or am I allowing these other influences to come in and affect me? Because it really should be up to me, I feel like, what I consider to be right or wrong, especially when there's things that, I was told that I don't actually agree with. I think one example was from the Bible where David and Bathsheba. So David sees Bathsheba bathing and then has sex with her, has an affair with her. She gets pregnant. And then God decides, oh, as punishment, I'm going to kill the baby. And I feel like that was something that I just, like, why would the baby have
to die?
Makes
no sense.
Makes no sense. No. Why would the baby have to die? Especially if you're taught, like, oh, wait, you're responsible for your sins. But then there's a contradiction there. So I feel like there's a lot of other things that I began to realize, like, wait a second, I don't actually agree with this. So why am I making my whole life decisions based on this? So once I started to realize that, I realized that I can decide what my moral code is and I can decide what's right or wrong for me.
I think that this is a huge one because I also felt very similar to how you felt in the sense that I held this God that I believed in a very high place.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that that God had very strict standards when it came to morality, when it came to ethics.
Yeah.
And so I would totally agree with you. I think that this is kind of, what's the best way of saying it? Like, it's kind of been a mind fuck, to be honest with you, because
yeah.
I think that there was a lot of my life that I thought, well, whatever God says must be the right thing to do, right? But it's kind of like what you're saying. Then you do a little bit more research into what God thinks is okay, and it's like,
wait,
do I want to trust this dude?
Yeah, like, I wouldn't choose to do that. So then you start to think, like, wait a second, are my standards higher than God's? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, that caused me a lot of cognitive dissonance, I think, when I was, like, in.
Yeah.
That thought of, wait, are my standards higher than God's? No, that can't be.
Yeah, I know.
What does that mean?
That caused me so much, like, it was like anxiety almost, because I'm thinking, like, what is going on here? But you cannot question it. So it's like you have this thinking, like, wait a second, that doesn't sound right, but you can't question it.
Right.
You can't ask more questions. And then even when you ask those questions, most of the time the answer is, well, we don't know. Nobody knows. Maybe, you know, we'll find out in the future. Like, we don't actually know the answer. And it's like, that's not satisfactory to me either.
No. So the next one is mine. It's one of the hardest things that I feel like I've had to unlearn with purity culture has been this idea that you're born with sin, that you're sinful. And I think that this was such a harmful thing for me, because what it ended up translating to is that everything that I thought of, or like the things that I wanted to do, I felt, oh, that's my sinful nature.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out, right? Yeah. So, for example, when I was a witness, I really wanted to make music. But I was like, well, I can't do that and still be a Jehovah's Witness. Like, they're not going to want me to go after a music career. And so I felt like, oh, that's my inclination showing me that I'm sinful, because I would rather make music than serve God, right?
Yeah.
And this applies to other things, obviously. You know, I think especially when it comes to like your sexual desires, your sexual needs, they're not viewed that way, you know?
Yeah.
They're not viewed as needs. They're viewed as something like, oh, you can go without.
Right.
But it's your sinful nature
Yeah.
that makes you want it so bad. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And I think along those lines, like, you tend to have this idea that you need to be perfect, even though nobody is perfect.
Yeah.
But it's like you're constantly striving to do better because you're told everything you're doing is bad, is wrong. Your thinking is wrong. The way you're acting is wrong. And you constantly are trying to do better. That it's like almost creates like you're trying to be a perfect person, or in this perfectionism in yourself that you just can't, you're never going to attain. And so it's like impossible. So because you're constantly trying to battle those two things.
Yeah. And I feel like I have just such a problem with this framing that fundamentally people are bad.
Yeah.
That fundamentally people want to do what's wrong. I think that idea is actually quite, I think, malicious, honestly, in its endeavors, because it puts you in a position where you want to do an us versus them kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
They're my adversary because they, you know, think a different way or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's like bad for who? Bad according to who? Because like, where's this authority coming from? It should be your own authority.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. And I feel like, again, I look at myself and I just think that this was a very damaging idea for me, because it caused me to have a very low self-esteem. I didn't view myself very well. I considered myself a loser. I considered myself somewhat of like a person that was like spiritually deficient or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's what I don't. I think that's the damaging part of all purity culture, really, is that its purpose is to make you feel bad about yourself. Its purpose is to make you feel gross for doing things that
are normal,
normal and natural. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
You want to move on to the next hardest thing to unlearn?
The next hardest thing is definitely a big one for me, was just my personal appearance and choices on my personal appearance, because it was something that was always drilled into me, especially since I was young, especially to women, is that your appearance is everything, that you have to be modest. And that's a that's a word from the Bible, like in your appearance. And you're always told, oh, you need to cover up, or you're showing too much cleavage, or you're showing too much skin. It's like put on women, because the Bible does say, like, you know, you shouldn't cause your neighbor to stumble. And so that gets transformed into women thinking that, like, so girls are basically taught, like, oh, if you show too much skin, you might cause a man to stumble. You might cause them. And it's like putting the pressure on the girl to be responsible for what a man does. And it's like, it's not her responsibility. It's not on her. And I think that it's something that was really hard for me to shake, because it's like I was always taught that since I was young. And it's something that was always hard for me because I've always had like a larger chest my whole life. And it was like I was always told to
larger chest. Interesting. Interesting choice of words, but okay.
I mean, I saw this picture of myself when I was 16 years old, and I'm swimming in my own swimming pool in my backyard in my own house, nobody else around.
Yeah.
And I'm in shorts and a tank top.
Yeah.
That's my swimsuit.
We've got to show this picture, right?
We should.
We got to show this picture.
Because
it'll show,
like,
on the video.
Yeah, it's like that. I couldn't even wear a two-piece. Like, my parents wouldn't let me wear a two-piece because that was showing too much skin. And again, it's like puts the responsibility on the women. Oh, like, some guy might see you and they might get, like, caught up in something. It's like, that's not my fault. That's not on me. That's on them. But that's something that is constantly put on women in purity culture.
No.
That it's somehow their fault. And it's teaching girls to be ashamed of their bodies when they really shouldn't. It's not, they can wear whatever they want, and that it shouldn't be affected by what someone else sees.
I think this is a clear example of how purity culture advances patriarchy. Mm-hmm. In the sense that it puts these really restrictive rules on women and promotes rape culture. Because, again, when you are blaming the person who is a victim of something and telling them, well, you know, it's if you don't want to see these kinds of consequences, right, if you don't want to be assaulted or whatever, then don't wear such and such thing.
Right.
You know, that's absolutely ridiculous. And yeah, I think it's interesting also because this was a popular response that we got both on Facebook and on our story about people who have felt like they need to kind of undo this thinking, you know, and be able to actually express themselves through their clothes and through what they wear and how they look. I think also this is a great opportunity to highlight how purity culture and patriarchy hurts men as well. It's important to remember that, you know, men are also affected by these kind of rules, and it continues to perpetuate a bad system, right? Because then men aren't allowed to wear nail color, for example, or have earrings or have longer hair, or things like that. And, you know, those are things that are also part of your personal expression that should not be decided by anybody except for you.
Yeah, exactly. That just reminded me of how in the religion, they used to have a brochure and it would say dress and grooming. If you were to go visit the headquarters, and it showed pictures of what you should look like wearing for both men and women.
No.
And like men could not wear like skinny suits because those were like
those were gay, apparently.
They were not allowed.
It's gay to wear tailored clothes. Okay.
Yeah. And it's like your skirt had to be a certain length, like below your knees. You couldn't wear a tank, like strapless tank tops, because you, oh, heaven forbid, like, you know, you're wearing too much, you're showing too much skin.
Right.
You can't. It was like so down to like how long is your skirt? Or like how like are there holes in your shirt? It was like to that much detail of what the person is wearing. And that's how it still affects my life today. I feel like, oh, am I showing too much? Am I showing too much boobies?
Right.
And it's like I constantly think about that, but I have to tell myself, like, no, it doesn't. It's not. It doesn't matter. It's like if it feels comfortable and I feel good in it, that's what matters to me.
I'm glad you brought that up too, because I feel like that's something we were talking about the other day in the car, where you were like, there are times where I feel like, oh, I'm showing too much booby, right? And there are other times where like I want to show more booby, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, I think it's got to be interesting to finally make that decision for yourself, you know?
Yeah, it is. And I feel like now my choices of clothing are based on what I like and what feels comfortable to me and not based on what somebody else is telling me to wear.
Right.
And that's like so freeing.
Yeah. Ultimately, you know, all like this stuff is about control. Mm. This stuff is about control.
Yeah. Right?
And I think that is the thing that is so upsetting to me now that I'm out. When I look at these things and I recognize, oh, this is how they maintain control over your life. Because they tell you can't wear a beard.
Right.
Right? And so then when they tell you, hey, you can wear a beard now, you feel like, oh my God, this new freedom. Now I can grow facial hair. You know what I mean?
I know.
When it's like, wait a second, shouldn't you be taking a step back and analyzing why someone else is
dictating that?
Right.
Yes.
Dictating to you what you can and can't do with your own face.
I know.
You know?
I know. It's wild that now, like, oh, all of a sudden God said it's okay to have a beard. And it's like,
apparently,
so many people have beards now. And I feel like, wow, like, if it was okay this whole time, like, why wouldn't you be able to wear a beard?
Right.
Like, what is the big deal about wearing a beard
right.
or not? Who cares about your facial hair?
Right.
But yet it has become this such a big thing mm-hmm. now. And it's wild. It's true. It's like, doesn't that cause you to take a step back and be like, wait a second. Do I honestly think that God cared enough to tell us all that it's okay to wear a beard?
Right.
Or is it like someone else dictating those choices for me?
Right. And let me ask you a different question. What if God said you had to shave your pubes? I'm serious. Wouldn't you, like, because that's not what religions teach, we're like, ah, that's funny, right?
Right.
But like, what if they did teach that? You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, this stuff is again, all about control. That's I think that's what, like, bothers me so much about it is they try to make you feel like you're this disgusting person if you don't go along with these rules. But ultimately, all they're trying to do is control you. They're trying to control how it is that you go about expressing yourself.
Right. And the thing to think about is, who's really the one controlling these rules? Who's making them up? Where's it coming from?
And I mean, for XJWs, it's the governing body. For Mormons, it's, you know, their governing body. I think they have one as well.
Yeah. For Scientologists, it's like that their leader that's in charge of it. That's making these rules.
Yeah. 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 And ultimately, that's what purity culture is. And that's why it's so pervasive, is that these rules have kind of infiltrated a lot of different places and a lot of different beliefs and religions. And, you know, ultimately, again, it's about control.
Yeah. That's why I think it's so important for each person to decide for themselves, like, not to allow that to happen where someone else is choosing their apparel, their personal appearance, the way they look, taking those choices away from them and taking it back and making the decision themselves.
My last thing that was really hard to unlearn about purity culture, and it's an ongoing thing for me, is honoring my sexuality and my sexual needs. This is something that I kind of touched on earlier, right? But this has been really difficult for me. Because I feel like when I was a Jehovah's Witness, the thing that I got the most in trouble for was like sex-related things. You know, I have been a horny bitch my whole life. I feel like this is something that I have been curious about and wanting to know more about and explore for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And so throughout my life, there have been so many times where I have felt guilty about wanting sex, about wanting to explore sex. And then this is just like with one person. Then there's like all the other stuff that I've wanted to do and try too. You know, there's kink and there's group sex and there's, you know, I mean, we could do a whole podcast episode about all those things. But it's like the hardest thing has just been acknowledging that when I feel that way, that it's okay for me to feel that way.
Uh-huh.
And it sounds so wild to like actually say it out loud like that, because I feel kind of ridiculous, you know? It feels ridiculous to feel like, yeah, when I have a crush on somebody, I feel bad. I feel guilty. When right. I have crushes on multiple people, I feel even worse, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's those kind of things that like, and that's why I put specifically honoring my sexuality
yeah.
and my needs, because to me, that word conveys the idea that rather than judge it, rather than look at it as disgusting or whatever, all of these things that I was taught, mm-hmm. You know, earlier in life, I want to honor it and just say it is what it is. Those are what my needs are. That is who I am. These yeah. are the things that I want to explore. That is just me.
Yeah.
And if people like it, great. If they don't like it, fuck off.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's been really tough for me.
Yeah. I feel like that's definitely hard to unlearn, especially since you were never given the chance to explore what you like or yeah. what feels right to you. You were just told, like, this is how it is.
Yeah.
And you know, you couldn't explore anything. You had to wait until you got married to have sex. If people did that, some people would wait till they got married to have sex. Some people wouldn't wait until they got married to have sex, and they got in trouble for that. But I feel like you weren't allowed to just explore and just to see how you feel.
Right.
You weren't allowed to just like, oh, they date somebody that is a man or a woman and see how you feel. You weren't allowed,
you're not allowed to express
that. Yeah.
You're not allowed to look at porn.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think those things also play a part. I remember one of the judicial committees that I had, one of the old men that was part of my case,
uh-huh.
he was like, he showed me this scripture that talked about how sex shouldn't even be mentioned but among you. Do you remember that scripture? I think it's somewhere in Ephesians. That these things shouldn't even be mentioned among you,
oh.
something like that. And it's just such a great example of how damaging this bullshit is, because mm-hmm. yeah, I wasn't allowed to talk about it
yeah.
with my friends.
I know.
With I couldn't even talk about it with friends that I looked up to, you
yeah.
know, that I was like, I'm curious about this. Like I didn't get to ask those questions until I was dating you.
I know.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Nobody, like, it was the first time when I was dating you, it was the first time that people started pulling me aside and were like, so do you want to talk about sex now? And I was like, no, not with you at all.
Yeah. And then the things that you heard from those people, you were like, I don't agree with that. I don't think I agree with that.
Sure, how accurate this is.
Yeah. And you're
then you'll find out a lot of people in cults lie about their sex lives. Okay,
that's true.
They lie.
Yeah,
because they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Okay,
yeah, they don't know what they're doing either. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. They don't know what they're doing either,
and they just pass along that yeah. information that yeah. you're like, wait a second.
Yeah. So again, I go back to the thing, which is I wasn't allowed to talk about sex. I wasn't allowed to masturbate. I wasn't allowed to do like any kind of online exploration of my sexual needs,
right.
which sometimes is porn, but is sometimes other kinds of content. And then on top of that, I wasn't allowed to have normal sexual relationships with people.
Right.
And so, yeah, a big part of my healing and of unlearning purity culture has been honoring my sexual needs and my sexuality and who it is that I am. And that's been huge. It's been a huge relief for me, yeah. honestly.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So what would you say are your key takeaways then from this whole episode?
I would say that my key takeaway has been what a relief it is to be free of purity culture. Because I think, like I said at the beginning, these are things that were meant to control me, but also things that have been immensely damaging to me. Yeah. It's been immensely damaging to feel like I'm sinful. It's been immensely damaging to feel bad or guilty for my sexuality. And it's been also really bad and detrimental to have such a patriarchal view of how women are supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, indoctrinated into you. Like, that's something that I've also had to do unlearning for as well, is like ideas that had been put there of what women should and shouldn't do.
Right.
It's gross.
Yeah. I feel like the same thing for me. Like, I feel like I had to unlearn a lot of these things from purity culture because what they taught me were not good. They taught me to be ashamed of my body, to want to cover it up. And it still to this day affects me. Like, I think I'm doing something wrong if I'm wearing a certain outfit, and that's not right. And I want to unlearn those things. I want to continuously work on unlearning those things. And I think it's just going to take time, but it's helpful to remind myself, like, wait, this is not what I believe anymore. And it's helpful to just be like, it's okay to explore things. Don't suppress what you're feeling. It's okay to feel those feelings and to want to express yourself however you want to express it.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? And I would add on to that. I think also, like, don't feel bad if your gut reaction is still this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to mention that, but, like, I do think that that's important to say. Like, don't feel bad if your first reaction is like, oh, my God, I'm sinful. Or, oh, my God, like,
I'm doing something bad.
This is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's okay. That doesn't mean that that's right. It just means that that's what's in your prefrontal cortex. Like, that's that's what you've learned over time.
Exactly. Right?
And so, like you said, it's important to take a step back and be like, should I actually feel guilty about this? Maybe not.
Yeah. And it's okay to recognize that and think about, wait, how do I actually feel about this?
Yeah.
And go from there.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Glamorous and Polyamorous. We would love to hear from you, especially with this one. What are the things that have been difficult for you to unlearn from purity culture? We'd love to hear either in a comment or send us an email, hello@glampolyam.com. Where can the people find us on the internet, Kim?
They can find us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube, all at glampolyam.
Yep, glampolyam. If you are enjoying this show and you want us to grow, we would love to get a rating and review from you on wherever you're listening to podcasts. If you send us a DM or an email with a screenshot of your review, we will send you out our Slut for Kind People sticker.
Yes, they're very highly wanted.
Yep.
So get yours now.
Put it on your bumper sticker. Or sorry, no, on your bumper. No, that's not how you say that, right? I don't know. Oh,
yeah.
Well. Put it somewhere.
Wow.
Thank you so much for listening. If you know someone that might love our show,
please share it with them, as that's the best way for new people to find the podcast, and it would mean so much to us.
Thank you.